Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Oh, hi, Mark.
See, there we are. Oh, hi, Mark. But this is Steve.
I miss that.
Welcome in. Welcome back. There's the scream. Yeah, Mark Brody welcomed as a guest on his own show.
Will you be seeing Pearl Jam this summer, Mark? As I start to ask the question, he's already like, twice.
Of course. Two shows lined up, ready to go. And I have to stop following them on Instagram because I'm seeing all of the set lists every day.
Yep,
and
so, I've seen some of those.
And every time I look at the calendar, it's still not August. It's not till late August.
Yep.
And I think maybe the second show is actually in September. I think it's like an August, last day of August.
Labor Day weekend, maybe?
First day of September type of thing. And somehow, some way, the schedule worked out for me and all the concerts that I go to. I've got the two Pearl Jams and an Incubus concert lined up. And somehow, even with the Bears, it all has worked out for me.
Wow.
But can't wait. That's the problem. When you buy tickets for any event in life that you like and it's so far off that the excitement of getting the tickets is great, ready to go. And then, oh, wait, you got to wait like 6 months before this actually happens.
Did you just give us a Coach Ditka in life right there?
Yes. Give you an in life.
In life, gang.
Yeah.
I want to thank Mike Esposito. And Mike Esposito will now read the guest list, which I have forgotten of people who joined us for the past 4 hours.
It has been a pleasure. Yes, and our guests, Alex Shapiro, NBC Sports Chicago, Michael Cerami, Bleacher Nation, and from SI, Matt Verderami. Thank all of them. We talked some Bears. Yeah. We talked some Cubs.
Mm.
We even got some shots in on the Sox, so, you know.
Okay.
Well, not as good a shot as Brandon Johnson.
No,
Mayor
no.
Johnson. Oh, well, this city council meeting was like watching nine innings of White Sox baseball.
Wow.
Now, can you...
Too easy, Brandon.
Yeah, but can you imagine getting sideswiped by a guy who's...
The mayor.
Who's having that kind of administration?
Yeah, that's a good seriously.
Point. He's the Pedro Grifol of mayors. Right? And he's taking shots at Pedro Grifol's team. We were on Pedro Grifol watch when he got fired.
His predecessor ripped on the Bears, right? So
yes, true.
I suppose. And Lightfoot didn't exactly set a new model for mayors in the city of Chicago either. So I guess everybody's got to pick the easy pickings. Like take a stand. Like go after the Cubs, you know? I mean, like, well, everybody's going after the White Sox.
Isn't that your guy Tom Tunney's job
to go I after? I see you. The Rod Jackson.
There you go. I don't even know if I'm allowed to do Tom
is Tunney.
Tunney
didn't he stop? Is he no longer alderman? Right? Didn't he not run? I believe he did not run for re-election.
Yeah, it doesn't mean
we could still do him.
I moved out of the city. I'm in Oak Park now. I'm not responsible for the alder people anymore in the city of Chicago. I don't even know what they call them in Oak Park.
Well, we were doing the Bear Claw.
Bears.
And we
but Caleb, yeah.
And we felt that because we were doing Bears talk, then Mitch Rosen should have gone out to Dunkin' Donuts and gotten us Bear Claws. And he still has it.
Well, they haven't made it back yet.
Bagels and cream cheese. Look, I could do that.
So he brings in bagels and cream cheese, and now you're saying, okay, bear run claws. Back out and yep. get us bear claws.
What else he got to do except That's make true. The talent happy? Isn't that his job?
That's a good point. Only Monday through Friday. Well, oh, I guess today is Monday.
Yeah, today's Monday.
Only until 6 o'clock. That's the way it works.
He was here on, I will give him this, he was showing his dedication coming in bright and early on a holiday.
Well, he brought you guys bagels?
And he did bring us bagels, which we did eat.
Yeah, well, no.
In Mitch, all fairness,
no,
we did
I didn't.
Eat it.
I brought you bagel sandwiches. He
oh, that was
bagel
yours?
And cream cheese.
All right.
I brought you the bagel sandwich.
Well, thank you, sir.
Tyler Farengol, our spectacular producer on this epic show. Yeah. Hold on.
Well, thank
In
you.
In a Gotta Da Vida.
We got this air guitar and air bass and sing along with Steve today. You
what
know?
Would you guys say was the most epic part about your program today?
In a Gotta Da Vida.
Okay.
Yeah, certainly the... The air bass playing and the air singing.
I heard I was Steve Lyons today. That's a new one.
That's a texter. You were Steve Lyons playing everywhere all the time and being funny.
Does that mean I got to pull my pants down at some point?
You know what? We're going to save
Only
that,
if
for,
you slide
save
into
that
first.
For the twits.
Yeah. I would actually like to see a Mark Grody spray chart of the score in
oh
terms
my
of
God.
Where I'm hosting and
a
where I'm hitting
map.
The ball. Every heat map. You can't pitch to me because I
no,
hit
right.
everything. Everything is... You know, all over the ballpark in terms of my spray chart.
Every day part, every time, every weekend part.
Yeah, I don't know where I
all
am
reporting.
Half the time.
No.
Yeah.
So I want to, when last I saw you, you were clearing out of here having served your time with Bruce for inside the clubhouse.
Yeah, I was released for good behavior.
And it was at that moment that it struck me that I made the comment about Pedro Grifol was Southside for Mike Quadi. Because he was only going to pick on the kids the way Quadi picked on and managed only Starlin Castro and Anthony Rizzo, and was afraid of the veterans the way Pedro Grifol is. And veterans see this and everybody steps on him, and Pedro Grifol has no credibility. His players know it. Maybe Pedro Grifol doesn't. And Bruce was in the studio at that time. And during we were changing, playing musical chairs, and he said, yeah, it's never the player's fault, is it? And I thought it's a really good point to make. And the difference between the two managers now is I don't really have problems with Craig Council's decisions and approach and his reasoning. And it sounds honest and it sounds authentic. Pedro Grifol. Sounds like, from the word go, sounds like a fraud. He was the one who said he'd have his team ready. One thing I can guarantee, we're going to be ready to kick your ass at 7:10 every night.
That was his opening press conference, right?
Right. Correct.
Essentially.
And so now, here we are at, well, these guys were bleeping flat. That's what he said after they almost got no hit by the Orioles and lost a 4-game series. Mm-hmm. Well, whose job is it? Who took on the job of making sure they weren't flat? So the manager... Well, it is the players. Cubs players have sucked. The Cubs hitters have sucked. It's on them. But the Sox manager has failed in, as Stan from Bellwood said, he does nothing good. He's not good at anything. Right. And not good at the one thing he said he took on, the responsibility of making the guys better. So I think there's a different. I don't have a problem blaming players. But when the manager can't start living up to his end of the bargain, what he said he would do, it starts with him. And to our knowledge, unfortunately, he has not been fired yet.
He at least was showing signs of life. I mean, with a team like this, 15-39, as you said, the low volume, just like the Cubs in terms of scoring runs, and it was a wild series with Baltimore. He's got to do something, even if it comes across as disingenuous. I was talking about this with Paul Sullivan the other day, and that is the 2007 Cubs, which was kind of this meandering team up until the point that they finally won the division. They had a hard time figuring it out for about three quarters of the season, similar to this Cubs team. Mm-hmm. I like that parallel and that comp. But at one point in time, Lou Piniella during that 2007 season got his ass ejected, and he made it clear that he did it on purpose because he had to do something. Obviously, the difference with Craig Counsell and Lou Piniella is that their resume is very good, and it says that they're very good. But eventually, a manager has to do something to let the fan base know that somebody cares. So while I don't support Pedro Grifol on the whole, and he showed that last year because he just couldn't manage the team inside the clubhouse or on the field in any way, shape, or form. This man's not going to last. But as far as having a problem with that, with calling the team flat, I don't have a problem with him calling the team flat.
No, it's true. He waited 200 games to do it.
Right. No, right. Absolutely. You're 200 games late, but that doesn't mean you don't do it.
But it doesn't look authentic. It doesn't sound authentic. Well, where's the times, real guy?
Many times these things aren't authentic. These are you heard Ozzie Guillen, you know, talking about how you got to take the hit for these guys sometimes. Mm-hmm. That's disingenuous too. When Ozzie Guillen is, you know, sticking up for Cliff Polite, let's just say. I don't know why I use that name. I just did. But that
because Kotz and Polite were the reason we got the Bobby Kotz, Jenks that year.
Bringing the big one. When that happens, umpires have to be a little bit disingenuous and have to mix it up a little bit. They have to say something in the media because sometimes that sparks guys. Now, it sounds like, because I only heard this on your show, and it was a fine show. I guess Corey Lee basically kind of was fighting him.
He was very, as a texter said, he was very senatorial in his response.
Yeah.
Well, that's
his opinion.
That's his opinion.
But that's his way of saying, we don't really agree. Like, if he's on the same page as Pedro, then he would have said something. He's right. We are flat. I don't have to tell you. But the guy, is he a rookie, Corey?
He is a rookie.
He's a rookie, and he's saying
At spring trainings, at the beginning of spring, he was the third catcher because Martin Maldonado, you know, the big free agent
signing. Can't displace him and his war that's nearly as bad as Andrew Benintendi, the worst player in baseball.
And they had signed Max Stassi also from the Angels.
Mm.
And both, Maldonado's still there, but Max is hurt. So,
we played Corey Lee after having played, Ozzy, but having played Corey Lee against Pedro Grifol, the way they sounded, and Corey Lee's poise and his response, and it was a veteran response, this guy's got more of a chance to manage the team than Pedro Grifol if they're going to have any wins. He's just, it's true. Because, and it sounds like if the rookie can talk like you can read between the lines, the subtext is, this guy's got no credibility, this guy's got no portfolio with us. That's what it sounds like. That's what I read Corey Lee's answer to be.
Also, they know he's a dead man walking.
Yeah. I mean,
they know that.
For sure.
They understand that. Unless the White Sox plan on losing 100 again next year, too. You know what I mean? Like, if Chris Getz looks at it and says there's no hope, there's no reason why Dale Swaim,
Mike Quatty.
Should continue, please. Ricky Renteria should continue to manage that
Terry
team.
Terry Bevin.
Just name, fill in your manager. Let me ask you a White Sox question. I didn't think I'd be asking you guys a White Sox question this segment, but I'm going to ask you guys a White Sox question. If you could keep one player on the roster as part of your core for the future, and A, Steve, death is not an answer, and nobody is also not an answer, you have to pick one, who is the player? And I understand it probably comes down to Garrett Crochet and Luis Robert, or fill in the blank. Which one of those guys would it be? Is either of those two guys would you want to keep into the future? And you can't say neither. You can say
Bears. I want Garrett Crochet, but I also want to trade him to a team that will take Andrew Benintendi's contract.
Okay.
I want that done.
Yeah.
Go away.
Right,
and you have to take Andrew Vaughn because the guy's...
Because the real truth of the matter is the debacle that occurred on, was it Thursday? The interference was a Thursday? Days become very confusing. That was all Andrew Benintendi's fault because he popped up to the shortstop. It's kind of like Bartman back in 2003. We all blamed him and everything that went wrong. But really, whose fault was it?
Alex Gonzalez.
That's the truth of the matter.
1,000,000%.
So now that we have gotten away from a little bit, to your point, Steve, right, we have to figure out how to get Andrew Benintendi off the roster.
Well, that's why. If you're going to trade, if everybody's available, I would keep Crochet if I'm going to do that. To answer your question straight.
Yeah, Crochet?
Yeah.
Yeah, same. Yeah. And I know, like, Espo?
I was going to say Luis Robert, but I have zero problem with Crochet.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think a lot of people would say Luis Robert. And it becomes complicated because pitching is ruling hitting in baseball
now.
So do you think, you know, do you want your core piece to be a really good hitter in Luis Robert? Or do you want to just join the parade of teams that have guys that strike out 11 like Garrett Crochet did yesterday?
I'm all in favor of it always did start with pitching. I'm all in favor of that. That's why we looked at the moving Shota back. We discussed that today, mm-hmm. and counsel's reason for it, all solid. And now looking at Steele today, Brown tomorrow, Shota on Wednesday, and Tyone on Thursday. So if they sweep, they could be back in first place.
Are you predicting that? You see that coming?
No.
Can't put some money on that,
no.
maybe?
We need a stopper slash ace start from Steele today.
Seriously. Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at the standings, because that's what we're allowed to do. That's
it's
right.
Memorial Day.
We can do that now. Holy cow, that's right.
I'm relieved.
This is our schedule. This is our standings examination show. This is the only thing better than that was our schedule release show that we did the other night. But the Cubs are 27-26. They are one game over 500. The Brewers are suddenly 3.5 games ahead of the Cubs. The Cardinals are just a game back of the Cubs now. The Cubs are screwing it all up in the division, a division that is just – the division just saying, take me.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Take me. I'm here for the taking.
Nobody running away with
Nobody
this.
Nobody running away with
it. Well, the Cubs are closer to fourth than first.
Yeah. Yes.
Objects in mirror are closer than they appear. Maybe
we need Lou Piniella to come back and get thrown out of a game so that they could then, you know.
That is a good idea. Yeah, just tell him Milton Bradley's in the bill. And we sent him home. He was calling.
I don't know.
The damn game, Espo.
I was at many of those press conferences.
I was at them all.
Oh, man. I mean,
yes, Milton Bradley getting sent home at a Cubs White Sox.
So good.
I didn't know what to do, so I sent him home.
Yeah.
Okay, Lou.
Yeah.
You're good.
Good.
Fine. You're
so
cool.
If there is to be any bright side to the White Sox, all the guys who are doing good have to get traded. Acuna got hurt. Tommy Pham can play the outfield. Yep. And I brought it up the other day. I don't know why. Tommy Pham, who could hit, has been on so many teams and never more than two seasons in the last 5-6 years. So maybe the Braves take a flyer on him, but he was on teams that I don't know what it is about that, but what it is about him and his personality. We know that he's slapped Jock Peterson over fantasy football.
Yeah, he did.
Right?
He done did it.
And got suspended for three games.
Yeah.
But if you have a chance to trade him, why are you holding him up now?
I was just going to say, can you imagine if Tommy Pham goes on an 0-for-10? Well, there's nothing left to talk about.
Give him time to suck. Let's get him out of there right now.
Because it's this fun thing. I mean, Bruce and I were talking about it the other day. He's like, let's talk about Pham. Yeah, because Pham, you know, he could get traded and he's playing well. What the hell's going to happen when he goes into a slump? Because eventually he will go into a slump. You're right, Steve. Trade this man now. Aura. Get it done. CC.
I did not expect to have White Sox crosstalk, but there we have it.
Nobody knew where to go after White Sox crosstalk.
Yeah, right. We did. We'll play Ozzy. Yeah, finally do it.
It would have been perfect, though, if the White Sox had been no-hit yesterday. Just really to wrap up both of our teams, that if one of our two teams that are not hitting well or playing well had gotten no-hit, and in yesterday's case by Kyle Bradish. But I guess no-hitters are no longer allowed in Major League Baseball, really.
They're not.
Most teams, because pitch counts and whatnot and so forth.
We know, the pitchers, it's almost more common now for the pitcher to come out with a no-hitter than it is for the pitcher to stay in with a no-hitter.
Yeah, what was it like 3 years ago that there was a whole bunch of no-hitters and we were asking questions like, have they just become commonplace? Are no-hitters too easy to get now? And now nobody's allowed to get no-hitters anymore. It's just the way it is.
Well,
unless you've got 50 pitches through 7 innings. Or something like that.
Yeah.
Something different.
Not a whole lot of strikeouts then.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yes.
Strikeouts
are
going to get you out of there.
Yeah. Which is the opposite of what they do now.
Truth. That is the truth.
What have you, as Mully would say, what have ye what on have your
you,
show today?
How will you handle, how will you... We will have on.
He's doing Alex Mully. Trebek.
it's a cross
just
between Mully and Alex Trebek.
Write
I love
a
it.
Number.
All you have to do is write the number 4, and you will win the game.
The day is mine, Trebek.
On the show today, we will have, because everybody wants to know,
The Brewers are that team this year that everybody just assumes they're going to drop off, and they can't really be that good.
No. Because we have their manager.
Yeah, that's right. So lots to discuss with Jeff Levering. He is the broadcaster for the Brewers on television, and he will join us in just a little bit to discuss the Brewers. We'll find out how real they are. We'll find out about life without Craig Counsell. Be interested to see what the reaction is at Miller Park today to Craig Counsell. Kevin Fishbane, Fishy Business, who covers the Bears, will join us as well. And then we have Bruce Levine, too. I believe Bruce is on at 2:15. Our Score Baseball insider, Bruce Levine, to talk about the Cubs and the Crew. So that's what I got today, boys.
That's very exciting.
Guys.
We will be listening.
Go on, get. Have a great day, guys.
You have a great show.
You have a greater one.
Yeah, I'm Mark Grody. I will be back in a...
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Moments on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Everyone in the park standing here at Busch Stadium. And the 2-1. A swing and a grounder toward the middle, led by the second baseman Gorman. Steps on the bag. Ball game is over. Four unassisted. Morrell's ground ball to Gorman. Routine play. St. Louis hangs on to win it by a score of 7-6.
This one to right center, Ciani. He calls it, and he's there, and that will end the game. Seiya Suzuki hit it to the gap, but the center fielder ran it down, and the Cubs, for the second night in a row, suffer with runners stranded. And the last, St. Louis will win it 4-3.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Great to have you here with me on the holiday. Hope it's going well for you. Looking gloomy, at least outside the Prudential Towers in downtown Chicago still. But I'm glad you're here. And we are open for you. The text lines are popping already at 312-644-6767. That is the number in which to call as well. Tough times for the Cubs here against the Cardinals. It's the case of too little, too late in back-to-back games for the Cubs. They scored the 2 in the ninth on Saturday to make it fun, and that's what Cubs-Cardinals is all about, but they lose by one run. The Cubs scored 2 in the seventh last night in the ninth inning, or 1 in the ninth, I should say, and they lose to the Cardinals by a final of 4-3. While there's a lot of stuff that we have to get into that's not good about the Cubs, it was good to see Ian Happ pop a couple ones last night, man. And they were just, like, legit. The home run that Ian Happ hit in the ninth inning off of Ryan Helsley, that was pretty awesome. Like, just from a baseball fan perspective, because it's 100 miles per hour coming at you, and he just drilled that thing into center field. So, Hap, just when you start to wonder, does he need another mental break? Maybe, just maybe, he managed to get himself back intact. In moments, we are going to be joined by Jeffrey Levering. He is the lead play-by-play announcer for the Milwaukee Brewers on Bally Sports. Also does work for Fox Sports and the Big Ten Network. So we'll get to find out all about the Milwaukee Brewers with him here in just a little bit. Or is he? Are you saying he's ready? Oh, good. Excellent. Let's do this right away here. So now joining us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, it is Jeff Levering. Jeff, how you doing, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, Mark. It's a great day to be at the ballpark, I tell you that.
Oh, I bet, man. I mean, like, Cubs and Brewers, Milwaukee now 3.5 ahead of the Cubs in the National League Central, and Craig Counsell makes his way back to Miller Park. What kind of reaction do you expect from the fans when Craig Counsell is seen either in pregame or when he inevitably makes that march out to the mound to pull a pitcher or to have a little chat with somebody?
Sure, it's a great question, and I'm actually curious myself what kind of reaction he's going to get when he gets introduced to the folks here at American Family Field. And we know Cubs fans travel very well up north, but I'm feeling that there's going to be a good amount of Brewers fans that are here today that are going to be celebrating this ballpark and celebrating this series. It's going to be a great series, I know that. But I'm really curious to see the reception that Craig gets. Now, listen, he goes down to the north side of Chicago, surprised everybody in the offseason, but he was the captain of the ship for this Brewers organization when they had their most winningest stretch in franchise history. So that's something that should be celebrated. And I think the fans, it's been enough time where they should appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. He should be celebrated for the boost that he gave the franchise. He's obviously a son of Milwaukee. He is their very own, so he speaks the language, so to speak. And then I also wonder, Jeff, there's the other part, too, where can you blame the guy? You know what I mean? Like, the Cubs made him the highest-paid manager of in baseball. I'm trying to think if it's all time, probably pretty close to all time as well. So I would imagine that, and when this all went down, did the fan base was there part of the fan base that understood what Craig Counsell was doing as probably jarring as it was?
I think they do understand it. And to be honest, the Brewers got off to a great start. And I think that's a big part of it. The team is winning. Pat Murphy's squad is doing a really good job of winning baseball games, and they're doing it in a very exciting way. So you're not going to forget what Craig Counsell did for this franchise. But at the same time, he was not the first manager in franchise history. He certainly will not be the last manager in franchise history. People change jobs all the time. I don't care what the industry is, right? You could be a radio guy and go to TV. You could be an architect and then go become a painter. People change jobs all the time. So I get it. It's your rival. It's the biggest rival that you could find. In terms of the Brewers, Cardinals are a pretty big rival, too, even going back to the American League days in the World Series in 82. But people change jobs, and I think that the further we get away from it, the further it's just another job change. And again, we'll see what the reception is today, and then once today's over, it's probably going to be business as usual tomorrow.
Amen. Talking to Jeff Levering, lead play-by-play announcer for the Milwaukee Brewers on Bally Sports. Sometimes he does some work on Fox, the Big Ten Network, as well. And you mentioned, man, it has been a really good start for the Brewers. They're 30-22, like I said, 3.5 games ahead of the Cubs. But you know what? They are that team this year, Jeff, that it seems like everybody says, they're eventually going to drop off. This is magic that what's going on. We had Ken Rosenthal on the Inside the Clubhouse show with Bruce Levine on Saturday, and I was co-host, and he was like the same thing. He's like, I don't think that they're going to be able to hold on because of their pitching. What do you say to people who are saying that? I mean, is there legitimacy to the start that the Brewers had, and is it sustainable?
I do think that there is legitimacy to the way that they score runs. Can you get away with the pitching the way that they've been able to do it with the starters? I don't know if that's sustainable. They have a few starter innings in Major League Baseball. Their bullpen has been unbelievable this year. They're going to get better over the course of the season when Devin Williams comes back, and they're going to get a couple of other guys that are coming back. They're on rehab assignments at the moment. D.L. Hall is going to be coming back, was one of the big pieces that came to the Brewers in the Corbin Burns deal. He's going to be in the bullpen. So they do have arms that are on the recovery train, which is great. But they got to get some starting pitching. They've got Freddie Peralta and Colin Ray, and Colin came out of the bullpen the last time. But those are the only two guys that have made their scheduled starts all season long. They only had two guys make their scheduled starts last season. So we'll see what the pitching does. But I think that the offense is sustainable. And what William Contreras is putting together, if Christian Yelich can stay healthy, Bryce Turang has been a revelation, I should say, at second base. Just a totally different guy from year one to year two. The top of this Brewers order, they're going to get Rhys Hoskins back shortly. I think the offense is legit. And it's a top three offense in Major League Baseball, if you look at the metrics, which is crazy to think about. As much as this team has struggled to score runs consistently in the last few years, they're not relying on the home run ball. And I think creating a more dynamic style of offense, which is sustainable.
Then more important than ever in this day and age of baseball, where the pitching is so seemingly at this point ahead of the hitting, to have a team that is fortified as far as the offense is concerned. You mentioned William Contreras, and I never thought that William Contreras might have a chance of being the better of the two Contreras's. Of course, Wilson Contreras on the Cardinals and with the Cubs all those years. Tell me about Wilson Contreras and what he has meant to this team, and why is he so good?
Well, when you put them together, is it Contreri or is it Contreras's? What are we going with there?
I think Contreri makes us sound smarter, okay. Jeff. So let's go. Let's go for the sake of this conversation. Let's go Contreri.
Yeah, of the brothers Contreri.
Yeah, I like that. Very good.
I think William is putting himself right at the forefront of an MVP conversation. He's catching almost every day. He's played every game. I think today is his 90th consecutive start going back to August of last year, whether it's as a DH or as the catcher. He does not want to come out of a ball game. Pat Murphy was talking the other day. He says, you know, we're thinking about getting him a scheduled off day. We've circled August 5th, and we all kind of looked at the schedule and went, that's already a team off day, which was the joke. I mean, he does right. not want to come out of the ball game. He does not want to take days off. He works extra hard. The way he's hitting the ball, again, all the metrics that have come out recently on these blast rates and all these different things that you can talk about, measuring how you get hits, he just squares up the ball. He makes contact more often than not, and he has really taken his game to another level. It's special to watch. He controls the running game. He calls a really good game. Nobody knew what he was going to be defensively. He's become an elite defensive catcher in the sport. I think he is right there in the top couple of guys that could be in the MVP conversation 2 months into the season.
That's pretty amazing. Get that man some rest for sure, because we've all seen the fades of players at the ends of season, so more important than ever. I see the Cubs, Robert Gasser starting today. Isn't that right, Jeff?
Yes, yeah, left-hander Robert Gasser. Only his fourth big league start, so we'll see what we get. Should be a lot of fun, though.
Yeah, he looks like he's got, I mean, I know it's small sample size, but and keep that in 2-0, 265. Mm-hmm. Looks like he has tremendous control, one walk and 17 innings, and he has yet to give up a home run. What do they have in this guy?
Yeah, he's one of the last remaining pieces from the Josh Hader deal with the San Diego Padres. So William Contreras was the other piece of that via Atlanta. The Brewers gave up Esteury Ruiz, who was another piece of that trade, too. So those are the two pieces that are left from the Josh Hader deal from a couple of years ago. But Gasser's a young left-hander. He's got unbelievable command. Kind of got a lot of paper cuts against him against the Marlins his last time out. 10 hits, but they were all singles. And nothing really hit hard, but he has an unbelievable gut, and that's something that you can't teach, right? He's just got this bulldog mentality when he goes to the mound. The last time he took the mound, our starter the day before only went one inning, and it turned into a bullpen game very quickly. And he took the mound, and he goes, you know what? I'm going to give you six. I'm going to try and give you seven. Mm-hmm. And he gave the Brewers 6 innings, gave 5 runs, 10 hits, but he stuck in the ball game. His pitch count was low. He pitched to contact, which is why you didn't see any of those strikeouts or walks in that ball game. He's a great guy to have on the mound. And today is going to be a really big test. He said 5 days ago, he looked at the schedule, said, I was going to start this game on Memorial Day against the Cubs and Craig Counsell's return. He's been circling this one for the last week.
Oh, wow. Okay. I like it. I like that spirit. That's fantastic. Yeah. The division is very interesting, the National League Central. We keep talking about where Milwaukee is and where the Cubs are. All of a sudden, St. Louis, right on the doorstep of the Cubs in second place, just one game back. Pittsburgh had a hot start, but the bottom has not dropped out like last year, because I remember the Pirates had a really good start last year, and then the bottom eventually dropped out. And we all know that they have got quite a base of pitching so far. And then Cincinnati, who has just as much talent as anybody on that roster right now, 23-30. Have you been able to figure out this division and the teams that will eventually sprout once we start to get into July and August?
I would love to figure out this division, but I have no clue. I have no clue.
It is difficult. It really is.
Yeah, it is. And when you went into the season, you looked at the Reds, you went, man, that's got the makings of being a really good team, and they still have all this talent. Injuries have been an issue, but injuries have been an issue with every team, it feels like, Mark. But they just swept the Dodgers, and they're getting Nick Lodolo back off the injured list again. I think that they have maybe the best starting pitching in the division. when they're all healthy and ready to go. Their bullpen is a question mark, but they've got a ton of athletes. They're missing McLean at second base. It's going to be anybody's stretch down the run there. I think it's going to come down between the Brewers and the Cubs. The Cardinals, I mean, they're playing better baseball, but I still have big question marks about their starting rotation. It's a really good rotation from 7 years ago, but it's not necessarily a great rotation for right now. They're eating some innings, but they've got some issues there. And at least Paul Goldschmidt, you guys as Cubs fans saw it yesterday, Goldschmidt with a couple of homers. He hadn't done anything all season. Then he ends up hitting two homers after a long rain delay yesterday.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I mean, so much of the series was zeroing in on Goldie, as they call him, and the fact, like, where's his bat speed? Where is he? And then, of course, Jeff, he is a Cub. Like, if you look at the current Cubs killers that are active, he's like number three on the list or something. Yeah, I think the only guy ahead of him is Matt Carpenter, who also beat the Cubs this weekend. So, of course, Jeff, Paul Goldschmidt had to get his act together against the Cubs.
Yeah, for sure. And he does the same thing against the Brewers. I think he has the highest OPS in the history of opposing players against the Brewers. And number two is Nolan Arenado. So those two guys being in the same division and seeing the Brewers as much as they do. We know the Paul Goldschmidt lore very well, just as the Cardinals know the Ian Happ lore. Nobody's hit more homers against the Cardinals than Happ has. He hit a couple last night too, right?
Yeah. He had a bomb off their closer, Helsey, like 100 miles per hour, jacked it into center field. And Happ, too, here's a little something for you, Jeff. Happ recently, he's struggled all year. They gave him, like, Craig Counsell. I don't know if Craig Counsell did this with Milwaukee, but he gave Happ a couple of mental days. I mean, we call it benching. He called them mental breaks. Did Craig Counsell, was that part of his repertoire in Milwaukee, too, when guys were struggling, sit them down for a couple of games?
Yeah, for sure. That's been a thing. And it's been a thing this year, too, for a guy like Jackson Churio, a 20-year-old kid who got out of the gates really strong. But he's had more, quote, mental days recently. He's back in the lineup today with Justin Steele on the mound for the Cubs. But that's been something that Craig did a lot of times in his 9-year tenure with Milwaukee. I think Pat Murphy realizes it. Some days you just need to take a step back and look at the game from a different lens. And I think that's a smart thing. And obviously it worked for Ian Happ yesterday against the Cardinals, and it's worked for Jackson Churio at times. But it's not just rookies, 20-year-old guys that they'll do it for. That, you know, Willy Adames has really struggled. At some point you're thinking he may need to take a day, but he and William Contreras just don't want to take days off, and they're really important to this team. But you're thinking maybe one may be coming at some point.
Yeah, I mean, the Cubs had that conundrum last year with Dansby Swanson. Like, he just had this whole Iron Man thing, and then he faded away badly towards the end of the season, had a rough start, and finally conceded to taking some days off. They said he had an injury. But, yeah, I mean, sometimes you got to force these guys to take those days off. One more thing before I let you go, because I know you got a ball game to call, and I really appreciate you taking the time to join. I know how it works, man. I mean, I was on the tour for 3 years, man. It's tough to do interviews before games on game day, so I genuinely appreciate you jumping on. How healthy is the Milwaukee Brewers organization and, you know, into the future? Do they got a good system? Like, what is the forecast for Milwaukee, like, in the next few years in terms of when they're supposed to really be winning and maybe getting another division title and winning playoff games?
Well, when you look at what those prognosticators are saying, it's one of the top farm systems in Major League Baseball. They were, I think, two or three coming into the season. And a lot of that was because of Jackson Churio, who was number two on the list behind Jackson Holliday coming into the season. But they've got some pretty good arms in the pipeline. Jacob Mizorowski is a big kid, 6'6", throws a million. He's built like a string bean, but he's got an unbelievable arm. He's already pitching in Double A. There's a chance you could see him in the big leagues at some point this year. But they've got a pretty strong pipeline of position players that are coming through. Their first-round pick last year, Brock Wilken, has already touched Triple A this season. So, I mean, you're looking at some guys that could be on the doorstep of making a big impact at the major league level. So they're stocked pretty well in the minor league system too.
Jeff, the sun is starting to peak, at least in downtown Chicago. You think we're looking at a roof open situation at Miller Park today, or are they going to shut that puppy?
The way I'm looking at it right now, the roof is closed.
Okay.
The panels are open, roof is closed. I think they're expecting some showers around game time or 4 o'clock. So probably roof closed kind of day today.
I loved living the no rain delay lifestyle in the domes when I was doing pre and post for the Cubs, man. I always loved going to Milwaukee. There will not be a delayed start. And I actually, considering the Cubs have had two long rain delays to deal with in the Cardinal series, I'm sure they will appreciate it. Dude, thank you so much for jumping on, man. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Mark. There will never be a delay here. We will start on time, maybe a minute late, but not too much more than that.
We'll take it, man. Take care, dude.
All right. See you guys.
Yep. That is Jeff Levering, lead play-by-play announcer for the Milwaukee Brewers on Bally Sports. Got a chance to know him a little bit when I was doing pre and post, 15, 16, and 17. Incredibly nice guy and a very talented broadcaster as well. He could probably be in Milwaukee as long as he wants, and he could probably go to other places as well. So really appreciate him coming on. We're going to take a break. Coming up at the top of the hour, you know what we're going to talk about? Bears. There will be Bears talk coming up at noon. Lot of baseball, though, today, intertwined with the Bears. Fishbane going to join us a little bit, Kevin Fishbane, at 1:30 to talk Bears as well. And I'm seeing that I'm liking some of the stuff I'm seeing on the text line right now, 312-644-6767. So I'm going to read some text messages. And if you want to slip in a phone call right now, we got a couple minutes. Come on in, 312-644-6767. It's Mark Grody on the Score. Bears.
Yeah, it's the baseball schedule. You know, fortunately, we'll get there pretty quickly and we'll sleep fast and be ready to go.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, the game last night to which Craig Counsell is referring was delayed until supposed to start at 6:10. Game essentially started at 8:30. Chicago time last night, so a late night, but obviously a short trip from St. Louis to Milwaukee on the charter. So that brings us to the Cubs and Brewers at Miller Park today, 2:35, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Yeah, it was wild. I mean, like the first game of the series, it's not even raining at the start of the game, and then they end up banging that game. And that's a doubleheader to be made up on July 13th. Last night. There was a tornado in the area. There was a tornado spotted in the St. Louis area, and they managed to play the baseball game. They weren't going to bang two of those games, and I guess ESPN wasn't going to let them take it out either. Huh, Alex?
Yeah, and apparently weather moves fast around these parts this time of year.
Yeah.
Like the storms just blow right through. The one on Friday was weird. I was here, and we're like, I was asking people in St. Louis, is it raining yet? It's like 7 o'clock, yeah. 8 o'clock passes. Right. No, not really. 8:30, is it raining? No, not really. 9 o'clock, I hear, well, it's going to start raining now.
Let's and go ahead and like, cancel, right, this, cancel game. This game. Yeah, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. Yeah, I've been part of some of those long, long rain delays. But yeah, it's kind of nonsensical when you think about it. And the, you know, thank God for modern day draining. And that's why they were able to play the game last night, despite it raining like crazy. And a tornado was in the area as well. And we heard Craig Counsell coming in. I'm Mark Grody. A texter from the 847. Grody, what has Counsell won in postseason? Nothing. Winning the Central Division means only the rest of the team suck. The Brewers are still winning with a different manager, 10 and 11 games. And we'll see. Well, look, Pat Murphy, so far so good with the Milwaukee Brewers. As we just talked to Jeff, the pitching is a problem because of injuries. If the offense can maintain what it is doing and get a little help, then maybe it's sustainable. I have no issue with the sports or the baseball aptitude of Craig Counsell. I think it is very high, but I will say this. Anybody who wants to come in here and put pressure on Craig Counsell, you're welcome to, because the Cubs have told you that. The old does the manager matter argument, with the Cubs, it does. The Cubs, Jed Hoyer told you it does. He says, it matters enough to me that I'm going to get rid of my friend David Ross, a beloved Cub who wasn't terrible with the Cubs and maybe is even a good manager, but he got rid of that guy to bring in who is perceived by many in baseball to be, you know, maybe top five in managers in baseball, and Craig Counsell, and paying him $8 million plus to do it. So enough with the argument. Does the manager matter? The manager absolutely matters with the Cubs, because the Cubs have told you that. So there is extra responsibility on the manager this year. I know that people like to say, well, Craig Counsell can't go out and swing the bat. No, he can't, but he can do what he needs to do to what he's tried to do, that is sitting guys, shuffling around the lineup. He obviously has a direct line to the GM if they need to bring people up. So, yes, you are allowed to put more responsibility on the Cubs manager than even we have done. And we always do, but this is a case where there's no argument. There's no other side to this than the manager matters in a huge, huge way for the Cubs because the Chicago Cubs told you so. Hey, Mark, Dan from Peoria, you're still a big deal in Central. I like your selection or prediction that the Bears still can't beat Green Bay and likely win 10 to 11 games. Yeah, that's the fact. I think the Bears are going to win 11 games, but they're going to struggle against Green Bay because until the Bears beat Green Bay, I'm not picking the Bears to beat Green Bay.
That's you have to believe that to see that. Or yeah, you have to see that to believe it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I've been hurt way too many times. I've been there way too many times. I've had sideline passes. I've had press box passes. I've had seats in the stands as a fan and seen all of the Bears-Packers games. So, be kind of dumb to pick the Bears to beat the Packers until they show they can continue to beat the Packers. We'll take more of your calls and more of your texts here in a little bit. 312-644-6767. Coming up, we are going to talk about the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams through the eyes of the Bears' new quarterbacks coach. He's a pretty important person with the Chicago Bears that we have not talked about much because, of course, Shane Waldron is the top guy in that offensive room, but Kerry Joseph is going to play a big part as well. I had a chance to talk to Kerry Joseph, so we're going to play some of the cuts from that coming up, and we're going to talk Bears right here on The Score.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Got a couple minutes. Come on in. 312-644-6767. It's Mark Grody on The Score. Bears.
Yeah, it's the baseball schedule. You know, fortunately, we'll get there pretty quickly and we'll sleep fast and be ready to go.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah, the game last night to which Craig Counsell is referring was delayed until supposed to start at 6:10. Game essentially started at 8:30 Chicago time last night, so a late night, but obviously a short trip from St. Louis to Milwaukee on the charter. So that brings us to the Cubs and Brewers at Miller Park today, 2:35, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Yeah, it was wild. I mean, like, the first game of the series, it's not even raining at the start of the game, and then they end up banging that game. And that's a doubleheader to be made up on July 13th. Last night, there was a tornado in the area. There was a tornado spotted in the St. Louis area, and they managed to play the baseball game. They weren't going to bang two of those games, and I guess ESPN wasn't going to let them take it out either, huh, Alex?
Yeah, and apparently weather moves fast around these parts this time of year.
Yeah.
Like, the storms just blow right through. The one on Friday was weird. I was here, and I was asking people in St. Louis, is it raining yet? It's like 7 o'clock, yeah. 8 o'clock passes. Right. No, not really. 8:30, is it raining? No, not really. 9 o'clock, I hear, well, it's going to start raining now.
Let's go ahead and cancel this game. Let's get out of here. Let's get out of here. Yeah, I've been part of some of those long, long rain delays. But yeah, it's kind of nonsensical when you think about it. And thank God for modern day draining. And that's why they were able to play the game last night, despite it raining like crazy. And a tornado was in the area as well. And we heard Craig Counsell coming in. I'm Mark Grody, a texter from the 847. Grody, what has Counsell won in postseason? Nothing. Winning the Central Division means only the rest of the team suck. The Brewers are still winning with a different manager, 10 and 11 games. And we'll see. Well, look, Pat Murphy, so far so good. with the Milwaukee Brewers, as we just talked to Jeff, the pitching is a problem because of injuries. If the offense can maintain what it is doing and get a little help, then maybe it's sustainable. I have no issue with the sports or the baseball aptitude of Craig Counsell. I think it is very high. But I will say this. Anybody who wants to come in here and put pressure on Craig Counsell, you're welcome to, because the Cubs have told you that. The old does the manager matter argument. With the Cubs, it does. The Cubs, Jed Hoyer told you it does. He says, it matters enough to me that I'm going to get rid of my friend David Ross, a beloved Cub who certainly wasn't terrible with the Cubs and maybe is even a good manager, but he got rid of that guy to bring in who is perceived by many in baseball to be, you know, maybe top five in managers in baseball and Craig Counsell, and paying him $8 million plus to do it. So enough with the argument. Does the manager matter? The manager absolutely matters with the Cubs because the Cubs have told you that. So there is extra responsibility on the manager this year. I know that people like to say, well, Craig Counsell can't go out and swing the bat. No, he can't, but he can do what he needs to do to what he's tried to do. That is sitting guys, shuffling around the lineup. He obviously has a direct line to the GM if they need to bring people up. So, yes, you are allowed to put more responsibility on the Cubs manager than even we have done. And we always do, but this is a case where there's no argument. There's no other side to this than the manager matters in a huge, huge way for the Cubs because the Chicago Cubs told you so. Hey, Mark, Dan from Peoria, you're still a big deal in Central. I like your selection or prediction that the Bears still can't beat Green Bay and likely win 10 to 11 games. Yeah, that's the fact. I think the Bears are going to win 11 games, but they're going to struggle against Green Bay because until the Bears beat Green Bay, I'm not picking the Bears to beat Green Bay.
That's you have to believe that to see that. Or you have to see that to believe it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I've been hurt way too many times. I've been there way too many times. I've had sideline passes. I've had press box passes. I've had seats in the stands as a fan and seen all of the Bears-Packers games. So be kind of dumb to pick the Bears to beat the Packers until they show they can continue to beat the Packers. We'll take more of your calls and more of your texts here in a little bit. 312-644-6767. Coming up, we are going to talk about the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams through the eyes of the Bears' new quarterbacks coach. He's a pretty important person with the Chicago Bears that we have not talked about much because, of course, Shane Waldron is the top guy in that offensive room, but Kerry Joseph is going to play a big part as well. I had a chance to talk to Kerry Joseph, so we're going to play some of the cuts from that coming up, and we're going to talk Bears right here on The Score.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.